Turn in your Bibles to the 10th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew, the 10th chapter. And tonight, for a few minutes, we're going to study biblical descriptions of hell. Biblical descriptions of hell. And I'm going to be asking you to turn in your Bible with me as I read different portions from the Word of God. In Matthew, the 10th chapter, verse 28, these are the words of Jesus. "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And just as sure as I stand here tonight, I believe there is a dreadful hell with everlasting pains where demons must with sinners dwell in darkness, fire, and chains. Hell, the prison house of despair, here are some things that will be there. Fire and brimstone will be there, we know, for God in His Word has told us so. Memory, remorse, suffering, and pain, weeping and wailing, but all in vain. Blasphemers, swearers, haters of God, Christ rejectors while on earth they trod, murderers, gamblers, drunkards, and the liar will all have their part in the lake of fire. The filthy, the vile, the cruel, and the mean, what a horrible mob in hell will be seen. Yes, more than humans on earth can tell are the torments and the woes of an eternal hell. The words that are used for hell in the Bible are number one, Sheol, number two, Hades, and number three, Gehenna. The word Sheol is used 65 times in the Word of God, and it has reference to the departed dead. The word Hades is used 11 times in the Bible, and it has reference to the place of the departed dead with two compartments. One of the compartments houses the unsaved dead. The other compartment housed the saved dead. And then the most terrible word that's used for hell in the Bible is the word Gehenna. And Gehenna is used 12 times, and it denotes the place and the state of the unsaved dead after the second resurrection, meaning eternal death. It will be dark and dreary and dismal. It will be cheerless. They will be shut up and inaccessible to prayers and intercessions of God's people. Hell is forever and forever. What does that mean? It means to the ages of the ages, describing the destiny of the lost, and it also applies to the duration of the throne of God as eternal in the sense of being unending. Now let me explain that again. As the throne of God is eternal or unending, even so hell is an eternal place that is unending. First of all, it is called a place of unquenchable fire. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the 3rd chapter. And I'm going to take time for you to find your place because I want you to mark these references in your own Bible. A place of unquenchable fire. Matthew chapter 3, verse 12. Speaking of Jesus, whose fan is in his hand,
And he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. Another description for hell is a furnace of fire, and you can find this in Matthew chapter 13, verses 41 and 42. Turn to Matthew 13, 41 and 42. Furnace of fire. Is there anybody here ever been in a steel mill? If so, may I see your hand. I was in a steel mill in Houston, Texas one time, and I could not believe the temperature those men had to work around. And I watched a smeltering pot until finally the steel came out in a liquid as white as this handkerchief. And that to me is a description of a furnace of fire. Matthew 13, 41 and 42. The Son of Man shall send forth his angel, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now turn to the book of Jude. That's the little book just before the book of Revelation, and hell is described in verses 12 and 13 as the blackness of darkness. The blackness of darkness. First, unquenchable fire. Second, the furnace of fire. And now the blackness of darkness. You remember in Egypt's land, one of the 10 plagues that God sent upon Egypt was the darkness. And there's coming a time yet in the future, Brother Wayne, in the tribulation period, when there'll be a darkness poured out upon the face of this earth that will be so terrifying that men will literally gnaw their tongues for pain like someone who's had an epileptic seizure. And in those days, they will seek death and shall not find it. For 5 literal months, the darkness will be so great that they'll gnaw their tongues to pain. They'll try to commit suicide. And for 5 months, they cannot even die. The blackness of the darkness will be so frightening and so great during that time in the tribulation. Well, think about a worse time in hell, Jude verses 12 and 13. Speaking of false prophets and others, these are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. They are clouds without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever and forever. So hell is described as the blackness of darkness, and it is described as torments of fire and brimstone. Turn to Revelation 20 and verse 10. Revelation 20 and verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. Now everybody look at me for just a moment. The devil that deceived them is cast into the lake of fire and brimstone
Listen now, where the beast and the false prophet are. Or where the Antichrist and the false prophet have been kept. And if you'll go back to the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation and the 10th verse, you'll see the time that the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And when Satan is cast in, the Antichrist and the false prophet have already been there for 1,000 literal years. So anybody that says hell is a place of annihilation does not know the Word of God. Here the beast and false prophet have been there 1,000 years, and then the devil is cast in where they are. I had a man tell me one time, Brother Brunson, anybody that believes in an eternal hell is an ignoramus fool. He said, why, even the most obdurate metals will melt when enough fire is put to them, and no person could live forever and ever in hell, he'd be consumed. Well, let me tell you this, the God in heaven who has prepared for the saved a glorified body that will live forever, has prepared for the unsaved a resurrection body that will be capable of suffering forever and forever. Don't let anybody tell you that hell is a place of annihilation. It's a place of fire and brimstone. And then it is described as the smoke of their torment. Revelation 14, 9 through 11. Turn in your Bibles and mark it. The smoke of their torment. Revelation 14, verses 9 through 11. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast or the Antichrist and his image, and let me explain that to you, when the Antichrist comes into power, he's going to erect an image to himself and cause everybody to bow down to that image and to receive a mark in his forehead or in his hand, and the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture in the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Now, before reading verse 11, what is that mark going to be? When the Antichrist is in full power, he will rule the world by universal monopoly. And he will use the means of modern technology to cause every man, woman, boy, and girl to receive the mark of the beast in their right hand or in their forehead before they can buy or sell. Now imagine a man who has a little baby. And that man is not saved. And that little baby is hungry. But that man has not taken the mark of the beast, and that baby is getting malnutrient. And he goes to store after store, and nobody will sell him anything because he doesn't have the mark in his hand or in his forehead. And finally, with the crying of the baby, he will go and get the mark and buy what's necessary to feed that little child. Now, the mark of the beast in the forehead or the right hand is the seal of the devil, and anybody that takes that can never be saved. Just like when we are saved by the grace of God, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and we can never be lost. The seal of the Spirit is God's guarantee that we'll get to heaven. And the seal of the Antichrist and the devil is the mark of the beast. And anybody that takes that mark can never be saved. Verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. I guess a person I remember most in suffering pain was a man by the name of Willis Heaton in Carthage, Texas. He was flagged with cancer. And it was before the time that they could treat people like they can treat them now. And I visited Brother Willis in his home one day, and he was walking around in his room while I was talking to him, and all of a sudden he just stopped and said, "Brother Brunson, I can't talk anymore until we have prayer. The pain is so great until I want you to pray that God will give me strength to get this visit through." And I stopped in the middle of his suffering and prayed. And Brother Willis and I visited a little farmer before I left. But if you think the pain that men suffer today is something, it is not comparable to what men will suffer in an eternal hell when the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and there will be no rest for them day or night. I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. Another biblical description is the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, Revelation 20, 14 and 15. I could quote all these scriptures, but I'm turning to them where you can mark them in your Bible. The lake which burns with fire and brimstone. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now then, look right here once again. At the great white throne judgment, the Lord Jesus Christ will be the judge. I'm going to preach on this soon. You and I who are saved people will be there as witnesses, and the unsaved will be there to be judged. And then when God pronounces their doom, the Bible says that they will be cast into the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. And saved people who will witness this will see unsaved members of their family cast into the lake of fire. And that's why, immediately after this happens, you see God wiping away the tears from the eyes of God's people forever and ever. For you see, even in our glorified state, when we see the unregenerate cast into the lake of fire one last time, you and I will stand there and weep. We won't rejoice when we see somebody cast into hell. But God will wipe away our tears, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things shall pass away. And from that moment forward, for God's children, there will never be another tear shed. And then it's described as a place where their worm dieth not. The body, Herschel, is likened to a worm in the Scripture. And in Mark chapter 9, verses 44, 46, and 48, turn and mark it, Jesus said, "Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." He repeated himself
where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And three times he says, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Mark 9, 44, 46, and 48. And he didn't repeat himself three times, Brother George, just for sake of taking up space in the Word of God. It's a warning from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that hell is real, and when a man goes there, the worm will never die. He'll suffer forever and forever. And then it is described as a place for the devil and his angels. Turn to Matthew 25:41. Have you ever heard some non-spiritual libertine or reprobate or agnostic or atheist who would look you in the face and say, well, if I go to hell, I'll have plenty of what? I'll have plenty of company. You will have. You'll be in the company of whoremongers and adulterers and murderers and sorcerers and blasphemers and all lies. You'll have plenty of them. Yes, sir. They tell the truth when they say, if I go to hell, I'll have plenty of company. But do you want to spend an eternity with that kind of company? But besides that, you'll be there with the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, Satan drew a third part of the angels when he rebelled against God. And some of those angels that he drew with them are already in hell. And some of those angels are demons or evil spirits that are walking this earth as his emissaries. And they're working even now while I preach to you the Word of God. And so fallen angels are evil spirits. They are demons. And they are emissaries of Satan. And he delegates them to do his work. They are his emissaries. But the time is coming when everyone of Satan's angels, along with him, will be in the lake of fire because it was prepared for the devil and his angels. Biblical description of hell. A place prepared for the devil and his angels. A place where the worm dies not. A place that burns with fire and brimstone. A place described as the smoke of their torment. A place described as torments of fire and brimstone. A place described as unquenchable fire. A place described as the blackness of darkness. And a place described as the furnace of fire. Hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that won't be there. No flowers will bloom on the banks of hell. No beauties of nature we love so well. No comforts of home, music, or song. No friendship of joy will be felt in that cross. No little children to brighten that long, dreary night. No love, no peace. Not one ray of light. No blood-washed soul with face beaming bright.
No loving smile in that region of life. No mercy, no pity, no pardon, no grace, no water. Oh, God, what a terrible place. The fangs of the lost no human can tell. There's not one moment's ease. There's no rest in heaven. So when you leave, you tell your friends and your relatives that at Hill Creek Baptist Church, we have an old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone preacher. Because the same Bible that tells us about heaven tells us about hell, and I can't be true to your soul and the souls of other men unless I preach the entire counsel of God. But don't you rejoice tonight that you've been washed in the blood and you are not journeying toward hell, but you are sojourning toward your eternal home in heaven. May the Lord add His blessings to this lesson. How many of you glad to change to you? God bless you. We're going to close our service with an altar prayer tonight. Miss Crimes received word that her father is not doing well at all, and they will probably have to leave for Nashville, Tennessee tomorrow. And I know she won't mind my saying this, but to our knowledge, he has never made an open public confession of faith that Christ is his Savior. Is that right, Brother Mark? And let's pray that as they go, that somehow God will open the door, that Brother Mark can witness to him, and that he'll come to know Christ. You say, Brother Brunson, if you believe in death, dead repentance, you believe when a man is nearing death's door, he can still be saved? I sure do. The thief on the cross was saved in his dying moment. And some of the sweetest experiences I've ever had have been seeing people saved who had but a few days or a few months to live. And so everyone who will, join your pastor and come to the altar. And let's pray for Mark.